better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ Podcast. I'm JT, and I'm here with the thickness of the neck, Joey.
I'm a strong cunt.
He is, better believe it.
I deadlifted 180 kilograms this morning.
Oh, get strong.
Which
That's
is,
nice.
Yeah, not bad for me. And I've been, I did a little test in this last phase of training. Can I get stronger at deadlifting only doing three working sets a week?
And
three sets of five. And yeah, I put on, last test was 172 and a half.
Okay.
Which was 9 weeks ago.
Okay.
And then today was 180. Arguably, I tried harder because I'd built up confidence as well.
Good.
You know, there's always that. But I'm like, yeah, I got stronger.
That's cool.
Three sets a week. I'm like, that's pretty sweet.
Hey, that's like a kind of minimal effort max result.
Yeah.
Because I know people who deadlift three times a week.
Yeah.
Trying to get.
And they're going backwards.
Possibly, yeah. But it's an interesting thing when you set a goal. Right, and you're like, right, I'm sticking to this goal. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're kind of talking about
setting goals, baby.
Setting goals and also the journaling piece, because this is something that I'm really passionate about. You also do it.
Huge. Yeah, I love journaling.
Love it. And also I've always tried to pass it on to clients of mine as a trainer, and then also subsequently tried to pass that habit on to my jiu-jitsu students to organize their jiu-jitsu, even though that's a little bit esoteric. But yeah, the act of writing stuff, people don't write stuff down anymore, right?
No, pen to paper is a rarity.
Yeah, and of course people are like, oh, that's antiquated, it's all in my phone. But then if you ask people to remember anything, they can't, because they've given over the power of memory and the exercise to their phone.
Yeah.
That's where the numbers are. How many phone numbers do you actually remember other than say your childhood phone number, your own? Sometimes I'm like,
yeah,
what's my phone number?
Yeah, again? I still remember like my first girlfriend in like year four. Like, I remember her phone number because I've done that shit every afternoon.
Hey, Christy, how you going?
Fuck, it's busy again. Shit.
Oh.
I'll try now. And then you get there and you're like, hey.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
You got nothing to say.
Not at all.
Nothing.
But it's
Jules is going through that phase now.
Julian's actually blushing. Hey,
who is this boy Julian that keeps calling in the house?
He's shaking his head right now. He's a good boy. If you're seeing whoever's mother, Julian is a good boy. I'll just say that.
But yeah, pen to paper is a rarity. What is the benefit there, like in your view of just of the act of actually writing?
So this is interesting. I got pretty obsessed with this probably about 10 years ago, and it was talking about why writing things down encodes better as memory, because it encodes in more than one way. So when you punch something into your phone, you are just allocating that as a phone action, and then it's given to the phone. When you write with a pen on a bit of paper, you process looking at your own handwriting as art. So your handwriting, when you make a mistake and you scribble out like a little, I wrote E instead of I, you scribble it, that actually makes it an image. So it encodes in the part of your brain that stores images or artworks. Also, it encodes in part of your brain which is language. So, for example, if you try and write with your left hand, it's like you're a four-year-old again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like it's so messy and different. You're actually learning how to write again. So there's the kinesthetic element. So you've got an image, you've got language, and then you've also got the kinesthetic thing of writing it down. Also, you recognize your own handwriting as a piece of identity. So it's a sense of self. So when you see your handwriting on something, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember when I did that. And it really flashes you there. So by
like when the trains go past and you're like, oh, I recognize my handwriting.
Graffiti, baby.
Dick and balls.
Still got that old Top Runners. No, it's a funny thing because I don't know if you guys remember The Departed.
Yeah.
There's a moment where he's writing on the envelope and it says citizens. He's like, they're back at the club and he knows that one of them is a mole because the boss believes there's a mole in the crew. Everyone put your details in here and I think it's Fitz, one of the criminals. He doesn't want to do it, and so he writes citizens or something like that on the envelope. And he's like, that's not how you fucking write citizens. And he you know, S-I-T-N-Z, you know, like he spells it wrong. And then later he sees that same envelope on the police counter. Like Matt Damon has that envelope.
Right.
Anyway, I'm misremembering it a fraction there, but that's how he knows, like, Matt Damon has taken the envelope from the gang. It's like, oh, God, it's, you know, he knows there's a connection there. But when you see your own handwriting, it hits you like, that's me. And it has been proven time and time and time again that if you write something down on a bit of a paper, it's a contract. You've now made a contract with something external to yourself, which actually means through whatever it's guilt or whatever it is, you're more likely to do it.
Right. Because
you've made this deal with yourself, like, I'll have to do this. And the more places you see it, the more reminders there are. It's almost like peer pressure. You've peer pressured yourself into doing this.
You've declared it.
Yeah.
I'm doing this thing.
If you declare it to others as well, there's that social pressure as well, which they say, some people say it's good, some people say it's bad. The way I look at it is this. For me, my thoughts get really scattered. I'll digress slightly. In Star Wars, they're like, we're going to the Dagobah system. And they push the button and like a universe pops up. That's my thoughts at any one time. If Joe's like, so what are you thinking for the podcast today? Like a million thoughts simultaneously. It's actually really hard for me to corral these cats and put them in an avenue. And that's why I journal. Because it allows me to get centered and get focused and not annoy Joe too much. But then also it helps me feel calm. Because it's not that I'm anxious, but there's an urgency in me. It's hard to explain. It's not a bad thing, but I notice that I want to say something.
It's like an angst.
It's sort of, but it's strange because I don't feel bad. It just feels like an energy.
Yeah.
If I haven't sat down.
It's kind of like a race car that's like a Ferrari that's driving through the city streets at like 50.
Backfiring.
You just want to get it out of second gear and open that shit up.
Fast and furious. No, but I find that generally I will do this first thing in the morning. I sit down with my journal. I go through my gratitude. I go through my focus. And once I've done that, I just feel way calmer. And then I'm like, okay, I know what I'm doing today. And there's less noise. There's less background noise. That really helps me. Plus, I'm always trying to do too much, so this allows me to kind of channel it. How about you, Joe? What's your experience with journaling?
So, yeah, very much the same. I think I first got onto the idea of putting pen to paper when I had a business coach years ago when we first opened Jungle Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my gym, for those of you where we record from, for those of you who are less familiar. And, yeah, he was kind of instilling in us like sort of personal development traits, you know.
Mm.
And he's like, yeah, you guys should be journaling, you know, and writing down like what you're grateful for, you know, what you would like to improve, etc., you know, kind of stuff that a lot of us would have heard, I'm sure. Since then, the process has stuck with me. I've always put pen to paper every day as a result of that. We'll go into the specifics of, you know, the journal we use and how we do that, but instantly it was evident that this is beneficial for me, because for that same reason, it just allowed me to get things out of my head and onto a page. And then that in turn allowed me to organize my thoughts and organize what was important. I tried all these different formats. I'm like, oh, I'm going to make my own journal and I'm going to ask myself these five questions. And, you know, that was cool. That was, you know, that was fine. And then you gave me this mono journal and it was like, hey, it's all there. You just got to fucking fill it in. And a part of me was like, oh, no, I like doing it my way because it's organic and I'm doing the whole thing and I'm not fitting into some template.
Yeah.
But actually, I've used the mono journal consistently ever since you gave it to me and it's been like perfect.
Yeah.
Because it takes me – like some days I just fucking rip through it. I don't fill in every bit. I really just gratitude and then my list for today.
Yep.
But then sometimes I'm like, no, I spend 10 minutes and I really go into it.
Sometimes.
So it can be kind of flexible in that way. I would argue like from a productivity or an effectiveness standpoint, like we're running a business, I got, you know, another business, you got other business. It's like you're trying to train, you're trying to manage a lot of things in your life. If you're not actually sitting down at the start of the day and listing out, hey, what are the important things I need to do today? I would argue it's almost impossible for you to be operating at your most productive.
Yeah.
Because there's just too much shit going on and you will get carried away in the momentum of the day.
Yep.
You will open your emails or your Instagram or some shit, or you'll get a phone call from, you know, an employee who's sick, and then before you know it, you're in the throes of the day and you've lost your chance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for me, it's kind of sacred as well, taking that time to sit down, go, what's important today, put those things down. All right, cool, that's what I got to get done.
Yeah.
It's just like centering, and it means that I don't know, I'm like way more likely to get it all done.
Yeah.
And if you think about that as a compounding thing, day in, day out, week in, week out, year after year, you are becoming a much more effective person.
Yeah, you're being able to keep those promises to yourself. And that's the thing, like, you know, I get pretty disappointed if I get to the end of the day and I wasn't able to tick my boxes, because I'm very much like that. And that's what I gain satisfaction from, is being able to kind of make a promise to myself, like, today I'm definitely going to train, or today I'm definitely going to, you know, get all my tax information off to my accountant so I don't drive him too crazy. And yeah, and it's in our head, we often build up a resistance. Oh, it's too hard, takes too long. And so I want to speak to that point. Before we go further, I want to give a shout out to my guy, Toby Ferrucci, who actually invented designed the Mono Journal. He's my guy. I worked with him.
Does he train jits?
He doesn't train jits, but he always sends me savage jits videos. Like, here's a dude breaking a dude's leg.
Okay.
You're a sicko.
Yeah.
Like, join the dark side. I'll get him there. But he was a Olympic lifter. And we actually met working together as trainers and member managers at a health club. And we had a terrible boss together.
Right on.
And so that brought camaraderie. But the thing I love about Toby, he's got great traps.
All right.
He walked in after like doing power snatches or whatever he was doing. I was like, God damn, boy's got traps. He's a lovely guy. He's the most nice.
Respect meter went boop, 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 boop.
Oh, I was jealous actually. I was so jealous. I was like, oh, I want those hulking traps. And he's actually a super intelligent guy. He studied architecture. And what he was sick of is having crap journals. And also getting a 12-month journal. I actually found it really hard. You know, you get those prefab, you know, 2020, the whole year,
yeah,
day by day. And what's great was he went, you know what? I'm going to use my design brain, because he majored in design, to make my own journal. And he did a ton of research. I didn't even know he'd done all this stuff. And he went through and did it. And he created Mono Journal. And I was jealous then too. It's just like the traps that he built.
Got the traps. Now motherfucker's got the journal.
God damn, what hasn't he got? He's got the golden locks. He's quite handsome.
Respectometer's just fucking redlining.
I want to be Toby Ferrucci. It's a great name. He could be a fashion designer.
Could be whatever you want, Toby.
Amazing, especially with a Mono Journal. So he gave it to me and he's like, dude, you should try this. This is my thing. I do it. I think you'll like it. And then I was like, yeah, I was skeptical actually, because I was like, there's a lot of structure here. And I wasn't sure. He's like, it's only 3 months. It's doable. And what's so great, and I just hold it up here, be a goal getter. Oh, yes. What's nice.
A little affirmation for y'all.
It's interesting because it's got a really good structure.
JT doesn't sleep. He just has the be a goal getter page open on his ceiling with a little light on it, and he just stares at it all night.
While doing like the McGill Big Three, yeah. My abs. Initially when I got it, I went over the top and I did every little bit. But now I've been doing it consistently for 5 years. I set one or two goals. I don't do five. I set up my month. And then the daily practice, and this is what it means to me. This is the structure, which is incredibly good, which is three things I'm grateful for. That gets you in a really good headspace. When I started doing that, I kind of was like, okay, what am I grateful for? I had to think. Whereas now I can think of like 20 things I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
I have to edit it back. And that actually puts you in a good headspace because it gets you outside of yourself. The next thing is today's focus. And there's only one line there. It's not focuses. It's primary. It's one thing. What are you thinking about? And then it's also, what am I excited about? To kind of get you in a happy zone. And I almost 90% of the time will put lifting. That's what I'm excited about. I'm like, gotta lift some weights, baby. I get so G'd for that. Sometimes it's other stuff. And then underneath, it's my goals. Now, you could write one, but there's just two lines. And the cool thing is it says, what am I aiming for? This is a really good question to ask yourself, because maybe you didn't actually aim for anything today, but it makes you think. And then underneath that, it's got why. This anchoring thing, I freaking love that. What is my driving force? And I don't have to search too hard for that, but just setting your brain up in this way, even if you just do that, I feel like that's a big win for the day, because almost nobody does it. And for me, that is more powerful than pretty much – it's almost like a meditation.
Yep.
And I'm someone who struggles to sit still. So to sit down and do this, it's almost like a mini meditation for me.
So for you, tell me how journaling fits in with your like greater concept of goal setting. Like say, do you do a yearly thing? Or do you tend to just go off what's in that journal?
They're quarterly, so it's 3 months. I will put in a goal which I feel I can achieve in about 3 months, and then I have more like an overarching goal. And there's usually – there might be one extra. So if I have a goal for Bulletproof and what we're doing with that, a goal for creative projects like Jugo, write the next book or publish the game or whatever, and there'll be a health – there's usually a health or a personal side of things where I'm like, what could I do to be better human?
Yeah.
Something around that. They're usually the kind of things I focus on. And I'll be honest, sometimes I don't hit those goals in the time. But and I think people get scared of that. Part of the reason why people don't want to write it down, they're like, oh.
Yeah, declaring it opens you up to failure.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But for me, it reinforces like, okay, I've got to get back at that tomorrow.
Yeah. And often things change, right?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, actually, that goal that I set isn't really the goal anymore.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine.
It evolves.
I think the thing there to kind of keep in mind is that if you don't have some kind of direction you're headed towards with the various things in your life, then arguably you're never going to land anywhere.
No.
Like you're going to land somewhere, but is that where you intended to land? Who could say? Versus if you set like a guiding star and then move towards that, doesn't matter if that star changes position over the years,
no.
But it does always mean that you're moving towards where you want to go.
Yeah, the purpose piece is massive. And I honestly believe that out of everyone I've trained, all my clients, you know, I've trained literally thousands of people in the last 20 years, those people who are able to write it down and think about it on a regular basis, they ended up not needing me, which is kind of great in a way. I mean, it's probably not a great business model as a trainer. They get good enough at looking after their own thinking that they're like, you know what, I don't need a lot of advice from you now. I'm cool to continue my journey. And people dip in and out. But I was always so proud because those people are independent.
Yeah.
You know, the kids grow up. They move out of home. It's like, yes. You know, I raised someone who can hunt for themselves. And I guess where this fits in, the more I learn about business, the more I learn about creativity, startups, just everything in life outside of jiu-jitsu, your ability to analyze the way you think, like think about your thinking, is the highest leverage thing you can do. So this is what I do with jiu-jitsu. I currently use my mono journal to organize thoughts around jiu-jitsu. So I might do a little mind map and say it's something about heel hooks, and then I'll put all the different thoughts around that, and then I'll kind of map that out, and then I have a separate book for that because there's not enough room in the journal to do that.
Right.
You know, it's like I don't know.
A separate like notepad kind of.
Yeah, it's like just a school. Yeah, like your school book, and I've got different notes in there. But you know that meme? I think it's like Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where he's like guy with a beard, and he's just got like a cigarette. He's like looking deranged, and he's just got like it's like a police. There's photos. There's string. It's all connected, man. And he's like, I've got it worked out, guys. Like it's like this. That's the thing for me. I get distracted. And so I actually have to use this as a disciplinary tool because there's only so much I can write in here.
Yeah.
So I've got to just go, right, what is the single
Keeps
thing?
You brief.
Exactly. So, yeah, I find that helps me a lot, and I literally have four of these for every year.
Yep.
For the last more than 5 years. And, yeah, I think that's the thing that I'm less perfectionistic about it now. Some days I barely write anything. And then other days, it's like a mess of notes, quotes, you name it, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
It's all there. And what I've loved is just giving it to other people, like gave one to you and then give it to another person. And I find that I don't have to do anything after that. You kind of engage with it at whatever suits you.
Yeah.
And people enjoy it. Yeah, so I think that's the thing. Like it's not – I know what it means to me, but what's been so nice is just other people using it being like, yeah, this is cool. Like it is well designed. And the thing which is also great is the free space. So if you want to write down your sets and reps and your workout, you can do that. If you want to doodle or write a quote, you can do that. You know?
Yeah, so I'll tell you how it fits in for me with like the yearly piece. What I think is important and I've always tried to do is to, well, since sort of getting onto this putting pen to paper idea is doing a review of the year, like sitting down at some point in the year. It's usually for me, it's in January, and I look back and go, well, how were things last year? And I kind of look at sort of key categories in my life. I look at my training. I look at my relationships. It's generally the relationship with my partner, but I also look at like family and friends. And then I look at my businesses.
Yep.
And at any one time, I could there might be something that I add to that or take away, whatever. Mm. Might be hobbies, might be certain lifestyle things that I want to improve. And I'll do a little review. And then I'll also then look at the year ahead with those categories in mind. And I'll think, all right, well, what do I want to do this year? How do I want to improve things in my with my partner? How do I want to improve things for Bulletproof? What are the goals there?
Yep.
What do I want to do for the gym? And so that then takes my mind to, all right, what do we try and do? And then it's listing out like one, two, maybe three things for each of those categories that's just like, well, what can I do that's going to improve that? There might be certain business goals. It might be a course that I want to take. It might be adding an extra session of jiu-jitsu each week because in the last year I wasn't actually super stoked with only getting to two. So I'm already thinking about this for next year. It's like, all right, how do I get a third session? But I do that and it's really cool because it kind of gives me a list of like, I don't know, 10 things that I'm like, well, this is what I really want to achieve this year.
Aim for.
Yeah. And so then when I'm doing my, you know, my quarterly thing with the journal and then that also becomes a weekly and a daily practice, it's all like, well, what's my activity this month relevant to that thing I said I wanted to achieve?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's sometimes it's loose. It's definitely been used loose since my son was born because life's just been a bit more chaotic. But it's okay because the structure's still there.
Yep.
And even when it's chaotic, it's still vastly more organized than it would be if I didn't have something like that in place.
That's right. And the way I liken this is like, you know how some people have a fancy way to tie their belt? I've been tying my belt the same way. Like I was taught to tie my belt when I was 10 and a half doing taekwondo. It's the way I tie my belt now, like whatever, 30 years later, right? So I don't want to think about how I tie my belt. I have to do it so many times. And I've always thought, man, they should, you know, you have clip-on ties. Yeah, I've always thought they should have like an elastic belt you can just pull up so you don't have to keep tying that mother. Just for efficiency, guys. I'm all about that efficiency. Not really.
That product's coming, guys. Keep your eyes out.
the elastic belt. Yeah. Just never tie a belt again. Are you embarrassed about
the JT knowing, big boy belt?
Not knowing how to tie up your belt? Shing. So easy. But that's the thing. When I come to the journal, I actually don't want to have to create a structure for myself. Like that's thought energy I don't want to allocate. I literally just want to get it out of my head, get it on the page, understand it and move on.
Yeah.
And that's why I like the structure. And the other thing which is cool about it, which I probably don't do enough, but I do it at least once or twice a month, is the weekly review. Because this is something which it really
– you don't use that –
I don't use it as consistently.
Okay.
I still do it.
I do it every week. I like it.
I do. I love it. I already do it personally.
Right.
I sit down and think about the week and think about what's going on next week. But then using it in the journal is key. You know, this is a phrase that hit me really hard. And this is before I started doing the journal, which is we do not learn from our experience. We learn from reflection on our experience. You're just experiencing things nonstop. It doesn't mean you learned the lesson.
Right.
It's when you stop and think about why did that happen? How did that happen? You know, how much of that was me? How much of that was – like actually just think about it. Stop and think about it. And nothing in our day-to-day lives is really promoting that other than, say, like meditation, which is still very, very niche compared to how beneficial it is. And when I do that weekly review, I'm like, yeah, what did work? And what's funny is it says, you know, out of 10, rate your success. I actually split that into like business and personal. Because what I find is sometimes the weeks where I'm having a really good business week, I'm like, yo, this week was a 10 out of 10. I might have neglected the personal.
Right.
You know, like I find like maybe that was only a 6.
Yeah. Didn't train enough or partner time.
Yeah, I wasn't nice enough to my partner. I wasn't sympathetic. I was like, man, I was a dick. I can't do that this week. Even if that means the business doesn't hit as hard, I got to correct there.
Yeah.
And it gives you a chance to go, you know what were the wins? It's always good to realize that. But then also, okay, what were the learnings? What did I fuck up? What can I fix? It makes you put a little plan for the new week, bearing that in mind. And I think that is also super powerful.
Yeah, killer. Yeah, I'm a big fan. The goal setting thing, I really think that like I don't actually use journaling for jiu-jitsu. I'll just say it's something I've actually been trying to bring in.
Okay,
cool. And I've struggled with it. I've tried to do it for ages and I'm like, man, I need to make time for this. On the episode with Jeremy Paul Skinner, he talked about it.
Yeah.
And he was like, if you're not writing, at least writing the shit down, like he's talking about studying jiu-jitsu. And he's like, the simplest form of studying jiu-jitsu is writing down what you learned in class.
Yeah.
And he's like, if you're not doing that, like, I can't remember how he phrased it, but he's basically like, you're a fucking loser. And I was like, damn, okay, JPS.
You are a loser, Joey. Yeah, yeah. JPS said so.
So I was like, oh, yeah, I really want to start. It's been so hard.
It is.
And I don't use this journal for training. I use it just for, like, organizing all of my other shit.
Yeah.
Because training for me is always like, it's going to happen. I know what days I'm doing it and that sort of thing. But yeah, I think that like it can be hard to get the habit going. And I say this as someone who's trying to do it right now for Jits, but the payoff is huge, especially for Jits. It's that act of reflection is like learning it a second time.
Yep.
Because you learn it in class, you do the thing, you leave, and then later on that day, if you are to write it down again, it's essentially repeating it and thinking about it all over for a second time. It's like having a whole second experience of the class.
It is. And I think the difficulty is, if you were more victorious, you'll have a positive shine on the – you tend to be like, yeah, I was awesome. I mean, that's Joey's experience of every role.
Yeah.
Bro, you remember that one takedown I hit on you? Yeah, I fucking nailed you, bruh. Deletes all three submissions subsequently. But, you know, like and but other people might come away from a class like, yo.
Glass is always half full, guys.
That guy passed. That guy passed my guard and he Nero'd me and, oh, man. And then you just have this negative reflection and you can't see your wins. The piece of advice I generally give people is to record the roles. So that way it's pretty clear whether you did or did not. You know, like the footage is there. Did you sweep them or did you, you know, because whether it's positive or negative, we can often tell ourselves stories which are not accurate.
Yeah.
So it's good if you are writing stuff down to go back and maybe have a look at a particular role or whatever it might be. I think that is helpful for feedback.
Funny though, when someone puts the camera on.
Oh, it's different. Easier, but, oh,
they're filming it. Okay.
Okay.
This is, yeah.
A game, baby. Let's go.
What's what you got a couple goals in mind for next year, personal or otherwise?
Yeah, I think so, man. Like I'm really excited. You know, my number one goal for this year was the app. And I feel like, you know, we put in a lot of time and effort to make that happen and that will be a really good experience for everybody who's doing Bulletproof. Like we've made sure it's going to be like that. And obviously there's going to be some things we've got to work through. But what's cool is that we'll, based off what people tell us, we'll be able to make it better and better. And I feel much better about that because I felt like a little bit low-key guilty that the website's not as good as it could be.
Yeah.
You know?
Our website's slow as fuck.
It's terrible, guys.
Thank you to those who have bared with us.
For enduring. But if you can get through that, you're also going to get a great program.
Yeah.
So I feel like we can be proud of that. That's cool. I definitely feel like my goal is to reach more people in jiu-jitsu. So whether that's through our podcast, in person, YouTube, like I've seen the positive impact and the positive feedback we've gotten. I want to multiply that.
Yeah.
It's been great. And yeah, I think learning is a big thing. So I haven't quite settled on the topic that I'll focus on, but I'll be putting some time into some learning.
What do you think you want to learn? You remember you said languages were a thing.
Yeah, no,
a year or so ago.
Portuguese is definitely still the number one, but I don't want to talk it up too much. Like that's something I got to just – that's a personal passion project.
Yeah.
But in terms of the learning, I'm thinking actually animation. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, just because I love drawing anyway, but also it's damn expensive to get animators.
Yeah, right.
And I'm trying to get the animation made of Jugo, and I'm like, man, I ain't got 150 grand for 5 minutes. I'm going to have to make that bad boy myself. So it's always the way. It's, you know, it's like when I try to consult a friend to design the card game, he's like, that'll be 50 grand. I'm like, fuck that. So I was like, well, I guess I'm getting the pens and pencils out. Let's go, you know. And so every time it's like necessity is the mother of all invention, something like that. You need something, so you got to just do it for yourself. And it's incredibly technical. And obviously, any of you animators out there, shout out. I value you. Also, if you can do cheap rates, hit me up.
Get in touch.
But also, I want to learn some new skills because sometimes I feel like I get a bit stagnant and I get stimulated and excited when I learn new shit.
What about training? You got anything on the training front?
No, to be honest, I haven't got a big focus for training other than not backslide. Probably more maintain, just have a consistency of training.
Yeah.
Strongman is the focus.
Yeah.
So I want to compete in a couple of comps next year. I just got to get stronger for my size. There's some very strong humans here in Australia. And yeah, it's just like a personal project. I enjoy it. It's kind of fun. It feels playful. So probably more towards strength more than jiu-jitsu. Yeah. Doesn't mean I won't train jiu-jitsu, but, you know, I'll just be leaning towards that. How about yourself, Joe? How are you feeling about the new year?
I haven't really thought about a huge amount, but after lifting this morning, I think I'm keen to – I want to deadlift 200 kilos.
Oh, yeah.
I think 200 kilos would be a nice round number.
Yeah.
Get that done and then not give a fuck about it probably ever again.
Sure.
So that's probably going to be a train – that'll guide my training a bit. In terms of jiu-jitsu, I'm thinking got to get a third session in, need to make a bit more time to be – really to be reviewing what I'm learning. Mm. So I haven't thought about exactly what that is, whether it's a third session or whether it's a session where I'm doing some positional stuff with a friend or whatever, but just making that part of my life. And fuck, in terms of skill sets and stuff, I don't know if it's this year, but I want to dive into deer hunting.
Ah.
Yeah. And so I've
– Hunter Joey.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I need to fulfill the Rogan – kind of the three elements of Roganism, have the podcast, be called Joe, Jiu-Jitsu Black Belt, Deer Hunter.
Hunting. Are you also going to do that TRT
Fuck
thing?
Fuck yeah,
then?
I'm going to do the TRT, bro. Guys, I went to deadlift 200. I lifted 280. Can you believe?
How did this happen?
TRT is unbelievable.
We've got this new nootropic. You should try it.
But yeah, so that's one of them. So with the deer hunting, I don't know if I'm actually going to be out there in the field with guns and shit later next year, but I do want to get out. I'm starting reading some books on it already. I'm researching some stuff and I plan to get out into the field and start observing and just learning how it works in the wilderness.
Tracking and hunting.
Yeah, fucking A. So that's a couple of them for me, and I'm excited. I'll sit down probably like early Jan and give a bit of time to it, probably when Leo's asleep. There's like a 90-minute period
for you to get your time
used in. To be able like you give it a whole day or a couple of days. Yeah. Now it's like, I've got 90 minutes here. I can do some shit.
Amazing.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what's on for me.
No, that's awesome. And it's this time of year when people tend to do the reflections, right? A year's past, what happened. I tend to do it around the birthday. But I think it's always good whenever you do it to just consider, you know, celebrate your wins, learn from what like didn't work, and then think, okay, what's coming next?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's your life. You get this run at it, and, you know, anything you can do where you can feel like you have agency, or, you know, some people may believe it's all predestined, and who knows? Maybe you're predestined to use a monojournal. But that said, like it's I find it is amidst all the chaos in the world, taking just 5 minutes every day to consult with yourself, that's a really important conversation to have. And once you start doing it, you're like, man, I should have been doing this a long time ago.
Absolute. Fam, thank you guys for listening. Hey, do us a favor, please. Whatever platform you listen to this show on, could you leave us a 5-star review? That goes a long way to support the show, helps other people know about it, and really, you know, the more we can grow this thing, the more of an impact we can have on the jiu-jitsu community.
We do appreciate it.
And if you want help with your training, get at us, bulletproof@bjj.com. Use the code BJJPODCAST when you sign up for your free trial, and you'll get 20% off once your subscription payment starts. But you got that week to trial the thing out, see all the programs, start your strength and mobility journey, and get bulletproof for the mats.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, fam.